I'm sure glad that he doesn't base his goodness and his mercy and his grace on my goodness, my deservingness, my worthiness. Amen. Mark chapter 6, we'll pick up with a verse number 45. Mark 6:45. Bible says, and straightway he constrained his disciples, Jesus did, to get into the ship. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. That's not a very friendly thing, ladies and gentlemen. And to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. Jesus sent the people away and sent his disciples away to go to the other side. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing. They're having a hard time. For the wind was contrary unto them. They were caught up in a storm in this rowboat. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. From what I understand in my studies, y'all, they toiled in this storm for about 9 hours through the night. It wasn't that far of a journey from where they got in to where they was trying to go. But they spent about 9 hours out there not going anywhere. And it's about the fourth hour of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Isn't that amazing? They saw the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the disciples, ladies and gentlemen. They saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up to up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Why? For their heart was hardened. If you'll go back previous to Mark chapter number 6, you'll back up to Mark chapter number 4. I got to looking at these boats in the Bible and these little day trips that they were taking on these ships from point A to point B because the Lord was having them travel by way of boat. You'll see folks in Mark chapter number 4, if you'll go back there, on another ship. They were on another ship and Jesus was on the ship asleep one day and a storm came while they was out there on this ship, and the Bible says that Jesus was on the tail end of this thing. The Bible said that he was asleep on a pillow. And here's what they did. They went running to him and said, Lord, do you not care that we're in the middle of this storm? I mean, they questioned Jesus Christ of all people. Don't you care? When he's the one that said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. He's the one that in Matthew 11:28 said, come unto me. I want you to take my yoke upon you. And they questioned him. Isn't this typical that we can go through some things in our life and if we're not careful, we'll just thank God don't even care. We'll just thank God just doesn't even seem to take an interest in the cares or the affairs of our life. Now, I know sometimes we like to act spiritual and like this stuff don't happen to us, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the disciples of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about people that sat down in the body, in the flesh, and sat down and ate with him. I'm talking about people that saw him with their eyes face to face. These people had problems. Even these people questioned that he even cared for them. Man, we having this hard time up here. We're having this storm and you're laying down here sleeping. For God's sakes, won't you get up and help us? I know for myself that I've been through stuff before and wondered where in the world God was. I've been through storms in my life and thought, my God, does God even exist in this life? Does God even care? Where's God at? I'm telling you, bud, there wasn't no ray of light in my little storm. It was complete darkness. It was utter darkness. And I began to wonder, was God ever going to help me? I'm just being honest with you. I've been through some dark storms in my life, and I've even wondered, did he care? Lord, where you at in this thing? But I like what Jesus said to these people. He said, where's your faith at? My goodness, don't you know we're traveling from point A to point B? And point A was where we just came from. And you seen me do mighty wonderful things. Where's your faith at? You just seen me do all kind of miracles. And here you are questioning me. Don't I care? You're worried about this little storm that you're facing. I'm down there asleep. You're with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What do you mean, don't I care? Where's your faith at? I like that. I like his response. This is why it's recorded. Everything in the world piled up on old Job. You understand Job had storm, not just one, but Job had problem after problem. I mean, we said it Wednesday night that man, Job made the comment that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I'm telling you, Job faced storm after storm after storm. You know what the Bible said? He didn't charge God foolishly, nor did he sin. I like that. He never did run after God and say, God, don't you care? God, where are you at in this thing? Why, what in the world? Ain't you going to help me out? He never did charge God foolishly. That's pretty good, ain't it? Pretty good man of faith. But then if you'll go over to Mark chapter number 5, and don't turn there, but they encountered a maniac over in Gadara. After getting off of a boat, they come in off of a boat. They just left one place and they're coming over here into the land of the Gadarenes. And this crazy man running around in the mountains, cutting himself continuously in and out of the tombs, just full of the devil. They've laid hands on him. They put chains on him. And they said that you couldn't bind this man down with chains, because many times they tried to put chains on him and he broke them asunder. And here he come. Listen, I like this. Blows my mind. This man's a maniac of Gadara. He's full of devil. And he runs up to Jesus when Jesus gets to the shore. You know what he did? Them devils didn't cuss him. Them devils didn't threaten him. Them devils didn't say, don't you care. Them devils fell down and worshiped him and said, have mercy on us. I like that. I mean, the devils has got better sense than his disciples most of the time. I'm saying these guys were thick in the miracles, man. They seen it all. And they see Jesus change the outward storms, and they see him changing inward storms. They see him changing things that's on the outside of people's life. Then they see him going over here to this maniac and had all these inward problems, and God reaching on the inside of that man and doing a miracle on the inside of this maniac. God doing that. It's amazing, isn't it? They see him change the heart of one that had a storm raging on the inside. Don't you know that Jesus looked at him and said, what's your name? And that devil said, well, my name is Legion, for we be many. I mean, man, that boy was eat up with devils, friend. But God reached down on the inside of that storm and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call peace in this man's heart. And that's exactly what he did. You don't think it was a storm raging on the inside of that man with 1,000 devils in him? You better believe there was a storm raging in there. I want to thank God that we have a Christ that can change the outward storms in our lives. Sure he can. He can make the sun shine again. He can roll the clouds back. Thank God and give us a sunshiny day. But I'm also triple glad. Thank God that we got a God that can reach down on the inside where nobody else can see, where the storms of eternity rage in our soul. And we have a God that can reach in the midst of that storm and say, peace be still, and give us a calmness that we've never had in our life. That's our God. He can change the outward storms. He can give you grace to overcome the outward storms. He said his grace was sufficient for thee. And it is sufficient. Let me tell you something about the victory that's in Jesus. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, that was guaranteed victory, ladies and gentlemen. My victory is not lying on the results of the presidency. It's not lying on the results of my bank account. It's not lying on the results of the behavior of my family. But my victory is lying, thank God, at the feet of Jesus. Amen. My victory is in Him. If I don't have victory today, if you ain't experiencing victory today, it's because you ain't appropriated the victory that God has already provided at Calvary. That's right. There's victory in Jesus, friend, and that won't change. If you don't have it, it ain't His fault. We serve a God that offers hope to the hopeless. Is that not right? And I say there's no sin too powerful or no sinner too lost that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse and pardon. Amen to God. Thank God for that. I'm glad God can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. I'm glad God can reach down in the bottom of the horrible pit and find the worst of the worst and wash them in the blood and cleanse them and set them on a rock and establish their goings and put a song in their mouth and praises on their lips. I'm glad, thank God, that that's our God today. That's our God. Well, I do believe that you can cross some lines, however. Sure, like Zach was talking about in Sunday school. I believe we serve a God that can forgive anybody and cleanse anything. But I believe there's some lines that human beings is going to cross, and God says, you know what, if that's what you want, you can have it. God said, you don't want to retain me in your knowledge, then here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you over to the lust of your flesh and let you have what you want. I'm not talking about sinners, ladies and gentlemen, that get not to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but people are, hey, stay with me. I'm getting somewhere, but people that get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that turn the lights out. People that get to see the light of God, that turn the lights out. People that get to hear the gospel and harden their heart toward. People that get to know about the Lord Jesus Christ and they know to do right and do it not. I'm telling you, God said, you're fixing to cross some lines, buddy. You ain't never going to get back. God don't put up with that junk. If you'll study the scriptures right after Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter number 5, you'll see that this old boy come running to him by the name of Jairus. And he come running to Jesus as Jesus is a passing through town. And he said, Lord, I need you to come. I mean, he's done heard what Jesus has done. His faith has already been increased. He's already heard all the things that God's done, Jesus Christ has done. And he come to him and said, my daughter's at the point of death. I need you to come help my daughter. And while he was on his way over to touch Jairus' daughter, we all know that the woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible said that that verse, virtue left his body and he could feel it. And through all of that crowd, here this little woman ended up coming before him and said, Lord, it was I. And he said, daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I'm telling you, but thank God that about that time here comes some spokesperson and said, hey, ain't no need y'all bothering Jesus no more. Said, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Said, ain't no need in bothering him. Let him go on about his way. And Jesus looked at that crowd and said, she ain't dead. She's only asleep. And he took his disciples and that girl's mom and daddy and told everybody else to go on. And they, like Bible said, they laughed Jesus to scorn, friend. Said he walked in that room and resurrected that little old girl and said, look at that mom and dad and said, listen, I want you to take and tell everybody what happened. I want you to feed this little old girl. She needs something to eat. Raised her up. Who was there? Those disciples was there. He told everybody else, I want you to go, and took her mama and her daddy and those disciples and went in that little old room and resurrected that little girl. These guys had seen it all, buddy. I mean, they've been with him. They passed from one side to the other. Man, they've seen God perform miracle after miracle. What I'm trying to tell you is we serve a God that thrives in hopeless situations. I've preached it all before, but we do serve a God that thrives in hopeless situations. Ain't you glad that's our God? Ain't you glad, thank God, when it seems like all hope is gone, Jesus shows up. Amen. I mean, bud, can't you see Mary and Martha over there by Lazarus' tomb? I mean, he's been dead for days now. The body's already stinking. It's hopeless. It's over with. He's dead. It's gone. And Jesus comes a-walking up, son, when all the flesh is out of the way, when Mary can't do a thing, and Martha can't do a thing, no human can do nothing, then walks in Jesus. It's just Lazarus come forth. That's our God, friend. He'll show up when your flesh is out of the way. He'll show up when you're hopeless. He'll show up when there's nothing else you can do. Thank God that way we can't glorify ourselves. We can't glorify man. We can only say glory be to God. Look at what God has done. Who in the world do you know that's going to set a fire and goes and gets 12 barrels of water and pours it on the wood? Nobody in their right mind. But we serve a God, thank God, that when he builds a fire, he pours water on it first and then sets it afire. That's him, friend. Takes us out of the way. God gets rid of us. We like to use kerosene and gasoline and diesel fuel. God said, go get me some water. We're going to set this thing on fire. I like it, friend. You say, well, I'm telling my son, only God can do what needs to be done in our life. And here's people that saw God do that. Here's a group of men that traveled with Jesus that saw him at the peak of his miracle days, at the best that he had to offer in those days. They were there with him. They seen it all. Listen to what David said. We just serve a God that thrives in hopeless situations. Have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Has your home ever been in a hopeless situation? Has your life ever been in a hopeless situation? Have you ever been in a storm so deep and dark that it seemed like all hope was lost? Has it ever been in a place, have you ever been in a place in your life where it seemed like only God could fix the situation? Sure. If you're a human being, you've more than likely been there, saved or lost. You've been in bad situations, been in some dark storms, seen some bad days. Amen. I can promise you this. God usually won't kick in till all your sources run out. God usually don't kick in until you kick out. Until all your little expectations, until all your little fleshly works, all your little theories, and all your little ideas and philosophies, and all that stuff has been exhausted, and you come up empty, just like that woman with the issue, and only thing left is God, friend. That's when God can do his thing. Amen. That's usually when he will. He ain't gonna go ahead and just kick that. Listen to what David said. David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man. But there was no man that would know me. He said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He said, and I cried unto the Lord, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, thank God for Jesus. My portion in the land of the living. After all this, Jesus sends his disciples. He sends them out two by two. You've read it. The Bible said that just when you go, don't even take a spare coat. Don't take a bunch of, don't take no clothes. Don't take no money. Don't do none of that. Just go in with what you got on your back. Amen. No money, no food, no change of clothes. Now why should he do this? Because he wanted them and us to know that he would take care of them. Huh. He didn't want them to take a change of clothes. He didn't want them to take a pocket full of money. God wanted them to know that he would provide and take care of every need they had. That's our God. Aren't you glad you ain't got to have a pocket full of money? Ain't you glad you ain't got to have the latest fashions? Ain't you glad you ain't got to fit in with the world's mold? Amen. You can come in empty, thank God, and leave with everything. Yes, sir. When they went out, the Bible says they did many wonderful works. these disciples. Bible said Jesus gave them power over devils. They were able to cast out devils and do many wonderful works. Jesus had these disciples, man, these people could go out and raise the dead and heal the sick. He said greater works than these shall ye do. He sent them out, man, and let them do greater works than what he was doing. Boy, I'm telling you, they went out there just like any of us preachers today. If we went out there and seen God move across the country, move across the congregation, move across homes, and do what God did, we would all come back together and say, boy, let me tell you what God did. I mean, we would start talking about it, Zach. I don't know a preacher in the world that can have a meeting and not start telling them, hey, I ain't criticizing. I'm just honestly saying, man, when God begins to show me something in that Bible, you know what I want to do? I want to tell people. That's what these old Bible said. They come back together. And here's what the Bible said. They was rejoicing amongst each other and testifying and sharing. And man, they come to Jesus and they start talking about it. They said, Lord, went out there and we cast out all these devils. And Jesus said, hey, don't rejoice because you got power over them devils. He said, I want you to rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. I want you to rejoice because your names are recorded in heaven. He said, listen, boys, this is what Jesus is trying to say, and I'm trying to get somewhere. Jesus is trying to tell his people, you're not always going to have power over these problems. You're not always going to have power over the devils. You're not always going to come back with this great victory of all them good days that you had. There's going to be some dark days, boys. And you better not get to shouting over the shallow stuff. But you better get to rejoicing. Because no matter what does come your way, you know your name's in heaven anyhow. Amen. Because I promise you, Jesus is trying to tell them there's some troubles coming your way. If you're going to live for him, Jesus said, hey, listen, there's some storms coming your way. I don't care if you live for him, if you don't live for him. Do you hear me? I sat and watched my drunken daddy go through storm after storm after storm. He wasn't living for God. He reigns over the just and the unjust. Life is the same for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. Saved people lose their children. Lost people lose their children. Saved people get in car wrecks. Lost people get in car wrecks. It's called life. Lord have mercy. Jesus rebuked him and said, don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your name is written and recorded in heaven. To you today that are saved by the grace of God, you might not be able to change one inkling of the circumstances in your life. Are you listening? You can try with everything that you have within you, but you may never in your life change one inkling of your circumstance. But that ain't why you rejoice, buddy. You don't rejoice because you can or can't do that. I'll tell you what I'm resting in today. Thank God that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come what may, Zach, I'll tell you one thing, son, I can pillow my head tonight with all the hell that's going on around me and say, I want to thank God. And I can lift up my hands and say, I want to thank you, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everything around me might be raging, my world's upside down, but I'm so glad, thank God, that I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm glad, thank God, come hell or hell, high waters, I can rejoice in the Lord in my salvation, amen, that he's given me. I'm rejoicing that. Might not can change it. I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of things that can disfigure this. You can be here one day and here the next. You can be weeping and you can be laughing. I'll tell you what ain't going to change. I'm going to give a flip. What's happening here? That Lamb's Book of Life ain't changing. What's written in that Lamb's Book of Life is written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and it's going to be there, praise God, for all eternity. Amen. I'm settled with that. I'm secure in that. I'm satisfied with that. To you that's here today that are lost, you may not can change an inkling of your situation. That's right. You may not can do a thing in the world about it, but I can promise you one thing. You can do a thing about your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can do something about your name being written, recorded in heaven. You can do something about your everlasting condition. Sure you can. You may not can change your circumstances, but you can change your eternity. That's right. Thank God for that. Do you remember the case that the disciples couldn't change? You remember that when they came to Jesus, old powder put, that fella come, and man, he had that youngin' full of the devil, and them old boys, they tried and tried and couldn't do nothing with him, and that man brought his youngin' to Jesus, and Jesus cast that devil out. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm saying sometimes we cannot change our circumstances ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm still trying to get somewhere, but we can change the outcome. Are you listening? You may not can change the circumstance, but you certainly can change the outcome. You know what Brother Pat used to tell me? Attitude determines outcome. Brother Pat used to always preach to me, your attitude will determine the outcome of these things. If you go in this thing wrong, son, it'll probably get just 10 times worse and it'll end up wrong. But if your attitude's right, he was trying to say, if you have the right spirit and the right attitude toward God, if you're living down there in the book of James chapter 1, then son, it will change the outcome of something good in your life. You may not can change the circumstance, but you can certainly help the outcome of it. You handle it right. Man. We can't always change it. You say, how am I going to change? How's my attitude? How do I change the outcome? Listen to me, and I know this. Hey, listen, I know how hard some of this stuff. It's easy preaching. Hard living is Tanya Hart. Because I got to live in this thing too, and I go through storms, and man, sometimes this stuff is overwhelming. And you know what? I'm just trying to tell you, every once in a while these storms get on me, and it's hard for me to keep my eyes on Jesus. But friend, I'll promise you one thing. If you'll get down in this book right here, and you'll just remember about the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll get to looking in that blessed book and get your eyes off of your situation and the storms, and just look a little bit beyond that, get them back on Jesus, it will certainly change the outcome of a storm. You got your eyes on Jesus. Hey, get your eyes on Jesus. Get in that book and believe everything it says. Everything. Believe everything. Believe every comma. Hey, I believe the commas are where they ought to be. I believe the periods is where they ought to be. Everything. The parentheses is right where they ought to be. That's right. Everything. Well, get your eyes back on Jesus. Right slap dab in the middle of your junk. Listen to me. You can because God said you can. Sure, you can because God said you can. Get your eyes back on Him. And just rear back and rejoice because your name's written down in heaven. Hey, amen. The devils is going to be the devils. The storms is going to be the storms. The circumstances is going to be ugly. But thank God your name is written. If it's written. Let's go back. Let's go back to verse number 30 in your text. Mark 6:30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Listen, for there were many coming and going. Now listen to this. This is amazing. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. These guys were so busy for Jesus, they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't even take time, Zach, to sit down to eat. They were doing so much for the Lord. They were healing so many people, casting out so many devils, teaching so much of the word, preaching so hard, just going at it constantly, so busy. They didn't even, that's what your Bible said. They didn't even have time to eat and take time to eat. So what Jesus tell them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Get away from everything. Get away from everybody. Just get apart and rest for a while. She said, man, take a load off. Y'all been doing a lot. I'm going to tell you one of the worst things that a person can do is wear themselves out. We are in a busy, stinking society. Do you hear me? It's just go, 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 go. I'm telling you, bud, it's hard for anybody just to be still anymore and recognize God. We're so busy. We got so much to do. We're always on the move, always on the run. And God is somewhere tucked in a little old space in our life if we can find that. God said, I'll tell you what you better do. These people wasn't resting because they was working 60 hours a week They wasn't working because they were tired from recreation. They were resting because they spent all their time doing the work of God. And God said, you know what? Y'all need to rest for a minute. Come on over here. I'm going to show you what happened when they rested. Verse 32 says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They got on a boat and headed out somewhere private. But watch this. They wanted to go somewhere private. And the people saw them. Jesus said, go aside. Get over there by yourself somewhere. But the crowd was watching them, the Bible said. Watched them depart. And many knew him. Many people knew this crowd was the Jesus crowd. That was the Lord. And the Bible says they ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them. Michael, the Bible is telling us that them people saw them get on that boat and they knew them was the disciples of God. They knew that was Jesus. And them people started piling out of their tails. And the Bible said that they ran ahead of them and got to the other side on foot before they got there on the boat. And they was waiting on them when they got there. The Bible said they outran them to where they was going. People saw them departing and knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them and came together unto him. Verse 33, and came together unto him. Here are these fellas. They're trying to get aside. They're trying to get along. They're trying to just rest for a little while. They've been so busy in the ministry. They hadn't had time for themselves. They hadn't had time to take care of their own needs. But while they're on the ship, the people saw them. This old crazy crowd that's got a need. Thank God for a people that's got a need. Look at verses 34 through 36. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. He saw all these people. And his heart was touched, and because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was not far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." Look, their attitudes has already changed, ladies and gentlemen. Send them away. The disciples is talking to Jesus now. The day's far spent. The time's far past. We can't rest now. I want you to see their attitude. Their attitude determined an outcome. They said, look, man, you sent us over here to a desert place. It's too late. We can't even rest. I tell you what, Jesus, send them people away. Get them out of here. That's all he's doing. Didn't give a flip about them people. Jesus was the one that cared. They said, send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He said, we want to go get something to eat, Lord. Now all the stores is closed. I mean, the time spent, we can't do it. These people just wore us out. Look, we can't even go get nothing to eat now. Verses 37 says, and he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And as up here they are hungry, ain't had time to eat. And Jesus looks at them and says, hey, quit worrying about yourself. Give them something to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And you know the story. They come up with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And God blessed it. God blessed it and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Do you know what else I saw in there? I seen this morning. Look at verse number 39. I don't think this has anything to do with anything other than just God being God. You understand they're in a desert place. Can somebody give me one quick description of a desert? What's the first thing when you think of desert? What do you think of?
Hot.
What kind of soil? What's out there on the ground? What's on the ground? Huh? Sand. That's what you'd think. Look at verse number 39. Somebody tell me what God put out there in that desert for them people to sit on.
Who in the world ever went out to the desert to find a piece of grass? I'm telling you, man, there they are out here in this old desert place, and God give them a nice padded piece of grass to sit on. He told them folks, he said, sit down now. I'm going to feed you for a while. Amen. I like, that's our God, y'all. Nobody does that. They don't do that. Hey, I've seen them grow them golf courses out there in the desert. I watched old Jack Nicklaus design them. You know what his design is? It's sand. He uses the natural resources. Amen. Then they have to ship in special grass to be able to have a golf course. Man, they have no out of bounds. Everything's just sand everywhere. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Jesus just said, hey, sit on the grass over there. I got a little place grown just that'll seat 5,000 men and your wives and children. It'll sit every one of you. And thought that was pretty amazing. Let's jump down now, verse number 51. I hope I didn't make you forget anything. Let's jump down to verse number 51. And he went up and unto them. Now you have to see this, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus just took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he blessed it and broke it and fed over 5,000 people. Told his disciples, he said, gather up the leftovers, and they got up 12 baskets of leftovers. Verse number 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Here's what I'm trying to say. The disciples, as you read this story, get so out of sort and so out of whack with God that they begin to tell God what's up. They begin to tell Jesus Christ what to do. I'll be honest with you, bud. I've made a many suggestions to the Lord in the midst of my problems. I've tried my best to tell God how to handle it. I've given him my 2 cents worth. Man, I tell you, if I was God, if I could, I would do it. Listen, man, God don't need my 2 cents worth. God don't need me to fix my storm. Thank God. That's what he's for. Man, he didn't need them to say, Lord, the day's almost over. We can't even go get nothing. Lord, we can't go buy nothing. He didn't need them guys to say, look, Lord, send these people away. That was on him. But they didn't got so out of shape with God that they began to tell him what to do. Here's what I'm getting at. Here's what I'm getting at. If you read the story and remember what I read a while ago, that these disciples got so hard-hearted somewhere along the line, Zach. And I can see it. They haven't eaten. They haven't rested. I mean, think about how snappy you can get without a meal. Think about how snappy you can get without rest. Think about how snappy you and I can get when we're tired and hungry. And here they are. And they're the same way. And they're already snapping, and they get hard and hateful and mean-spirited. If they were Baptists, that'd be enough probably just to take care of it. They were tired. They given all they had to these people. And they thought they was going to rest, and then comes more people. Right at the time that they thought they was going to get to have a little R&R, here comes a bunch of other needy people. And I believe in the midst of all that's going on, these men's heart was hardened. Do you listen? Are you listening? Do you hear me? I said in the midst of everything that was going on, their heart was hardened right slap in the middle. Did you see what the Bible said a while ago? They considered not the miracle of the loaves. That's what we read. Didn't even faze them. They couldn't have cared less. It just another old, same old, same old. So what? God done blessed the bread and fed 5,000. So what? The Bible said they didn't even consider. They didn't even think about it. Didn't even give God the simple thought, much less a praise, much less rejoice. Hey, a while ago, you remember? Let's go back. Here they are all blistered up and mad and hard-hearted. Just a few verses ago, they was going, woo, these devils are such a good us. Yay, Lord, these devils. And he said, listen, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice because your name's written. You want to know why they was so hard-hearted? It was all up in these shallow things, man. They was caught up in this little old flesh. All these devils being, listen, somewhere along the lines, they got hard-hearted, church. I got to hurry. Because they were out of whack in their attitudes, in their spirit, they began to boss Jesus around. They told Jesus to send away. And here's what I think. I think before they ever got into the ship, look at verse number 51. And he went up
unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You understand? They were in a boat now. Verse 51, they were out there rowing for 9 hours and wasn't getting nowhere. The storms was up against them, the winds was blowing, and Jesus up on the mountain watching them. You want to know why Jesus let them out there in that storm? You want to know why Jesus said, hey, go get, the Bible said he constrained them. Go get in the boat. He made them get in the boat. He seen their attitude. He seen their spirit when he was feeding the 5,000. He seen how they acted. He seen their lack of appreciation when it was all said and done and the people was, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to tell y'all something. Go get in that boat. I want you to go over to the other side. Jesus said, I'm going to go up here on this mountain. He went up on that mountain and he let a storm come their way. He said, why did the storm, listen, this is my whole point today. Why did the storm come to these men? Why are God's people out there rowing and not getting any? Why has life come against them? Why is the contrary winds of blowing? Why is it that they can't see the light of day? And God's sitting over there watching every bit of it. I'm going to tell you why, because they were hardened in their heart. God said, I know how to fix that old hard heart. I know how to fix that lack of appreciation. I know how to fix a lack of gratitude. I'll let these storms come in your life. I'll let a little old wind blow and let you sit out there and row for a while on your own and struggle and fear for your life a little bit. I'll let some of this stuff come. And I promise you one thing, when I do show up, you might be a little more amazed at what I do. Right. Might be a little more appreciative of what I do. You might be a little more appreciative of how I do. That's right. This happens many times in our life. We're forced to do right. We do right with a wrong heart. It's amazing how many times people do right with the wrong kind of heart. You ever forgave somebody but really didn't forgive them? You ever forgave them because you were told that you had to forgive them? And so you just, you know, because you had to, you did. But down deep in your heart, you resented every bit of it. Huh? That's what these old boys was going through. They were at the point where they, if they did take up a tithe and offering, Zach, they gave grudgingly. That's right. God said, I'll fix that. I'll fix every bit of this. These are my people. You ever had to forgive somebody and you did it because God said so? You know, I've had to do that. Oh, I didn't like it and I went through the motions because God said I had to do it. I can remember my boys growing up and I can remember, Zach, y'all can remember this, them boys growing up, Miss Daphne, I can remember it like it was yesterday. That's what I'm talking about. I remember them getting together and they would fight like cats and dogs. And I would let it go sometimes. Sometimes, Michael, I'd let it go for a bit. But then I'd stop it. And I can remember the times where I've made them stop in their tracks. And I've made them suckers sit there and look at each other and tell each other they love them. I love you. Ah! Woo! I've made them sit there and say, you tell him you love him. You tell him you're sorry. You put your arms around him. You hug his neck. But they've had to sit there and do it or this will get their tail bit on top of it. And then do that. Not being cocky. It's just the way. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying sometimes in our life. You know what I saw? I seen little old mean butt boys sit there and in their heart they're going, oh, I can't stand this sucker. And they have to look and go, I love you. And I go, I don't like the way you said it. Say it like you mean it. I love you. No, you say it like you mean it. I love you. And boy, you can just see it just falling out of them. God sees that in us. God sees that unwillingness in us sometimes. He sees that old hard heart in there sometimes. I'm telling you, bud, God knows how to get that junk out. You say, Brother Dave, why'd you make your boys do that? Because I didn't want them to grow up and have hard hearts. I want to be able to look at their brothers and say, I love you, man. I want to be able to appreciate each other and be able to count on each other and help each other. That's right. That's why I did stuff like that. My God, instead of letting that old bitterness get in there and hate and just going against that friction,
Man, I've made them apologize, and this happens many times in our life. The Lord's told me to do things, man, and I've done it with a wrong heart. I've went to people and said, man, I'm sorry, and did no more mean it than the man in the moon. God knew how to get me right. God knew how to break me down. Sure he did. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Lord knows, man. He let this storm come in their life because he's seen them over there when he was breaking that bread. He's seen their heart. He's seen how wicked and backslid they was. And God said, little old storm, take care of every bit of that. I can get them drawn back up to me. I can get them sitting back over here at my feet if I just let this storm come. Right. Here they are, and Jesus is doing a great miracle over feeding all these people. The Bible says that they even considered it not. They wouldn't even acknowledge the miracle. Look back at verse 45. I'm hurrying. And straightway he constrained his disciples, get into the ship to go to the other side unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. We can see that Jesus has put them out on this ship all by themselves. Hey, let me ask you something. You ever get in that storm and you feel like you're all alone? Sure you do. Can I promise you something? In the darkest storm of your life, you can be in the midst of that thing. It seems like you'll be in that boat all by yourself. But I can promise you one thing. If you're God's youngins, he's got an eye on you. He's watching. Amen. He's watching over you. He's not letting you go. He's not going to let that storm overtake you. Jesus said, listen. Why ain't them old boys shouting now? This is all Jesus is saying. Listen, I want you to be able to rejoice even in the midst of this storm. Don't rejoice because of the devils. Rejoice because your name's written down. You can't stop the wind from blowing. But that wind can't take your name out of the book of life either. Not out of the Lamb's book of life. Can't take it out. Here's the people that saw firsthand the goodness of God. And they got to where they didn't even appreciate. Are you listening? They got to where they didn't even appreciate the goodness of God. Church wasn't interesting to them. They couldn't care less. They came to church out of the motion. Just because we got to go to church. I'm telling you, they didn't no more appreciate what went on down there. I'm talking about they went to church and Jesus was the preacher. They got to where they didn't give a flip about even being there. Bible said they didn't even consider his miracle. That'll make Jesus cry. Say, preacher, they ain't paying you no attention. Well, they didn't Jesus either. I mean, good company. How about that? But Jesus knew they didn't appreciate the service. Jesus knew they took it for granted. He said, I can fix it. I'm just trying to tell you some of these things happen in our life because God sees the naughtiness of our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. God just wants to straighten us out. You know what else I noticed? He showed up when he thought he should. Not when they thought he should, not when they wanted him to, but Jesus showed up when he thought he should show up. He didn't care what they said about it, no. He knew what was what. He knew what was going on. He's the one that called the storm out of the sky. He's the one that let it come down. He's the one that showed up right when he wanted to. He hasn't forgot about you nor I, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I see this. He ain't just running your way as soon as the wind starts to blow. But maybe he lets you toil until you get to the place that in your heart you realize that it's going to take God and God alone to fix this storm. Oh, how many efforts we make. It's amazing what causes storms in our life. Some of them we cause ourselves, some are caused by others, and some God causes. That's right. And this storm right here is one that the Lord Jesus Christ brought into these people's life. Listen, because of the hardness of their heart. Here's our God, the very thing that's controlling our world. I'm saying here's the way our God is. The very thing that's controlling our world, our little world, has absolutely no control over him. Can you see those guys out there struggling? Can you see them out there for hour upon hour struggling? What are they struggling with? They're struggling with the storm they're in. They're just sitting over there beating against the wind. They're not going anywhere. They're not making any kind of progress. I mean, man, it's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a worry for their life. Guess what Jesus does? He don't wait till the sun comes out. He hops on top of that storm, on top of them angry waves, with all that wind blowing, and just rides the storm right out there to where they are.
I like that. I'm telling you, bud, Jesus Christ will walk up right in the midst of everything. Hey, it don't control. What's controlling you? What's rocking your world? What's turning you inside out? Ain't facing him one bit. We serve a God, thank God, that'll hop on top of everything that rocks your world. And he'll step out into your life and say, peace in the midst of your troubles. Ain't that a blessing? It ain't facing him none. Your storm ain't facing him. Your troubles ain't facing him a bit. He'll step right out there on them and just say, peace be still. It's amazing that God can send a word to us through someone, or he can manifest himself in our services. And because of the hardness of our hearts, we don't even care. That's, hey, listen, Matt, listen to me. And I'm trying to hurry. It's amazing that God can manifest himself in different ways. And that's what he did. He was healing the blind, raising the dead, giving the blind their sight, healing the sick, doing all them things, manifesting himself. Now these people had spent all this time with him. And here they are out there in a storm. Their heart has been got so out of whack with God that Jesus Christ, the very one that they've been just serving all this time with, spending all this time, he comes walking up, and them dummies didn't even know it was him. They didn't even know it was Jesus. You mean to tell me your husband can come walking in this building and you won't know who he is? They didn't even know it was the Lord. They thought it was some spirit out there walking on the water. And Jesus had to speak to them. And they all were amazed and wondered in themselves. They never was sure about it. Jesus got on the boat. And when he got on the boat, the storm ceased. They still wasn't sure. You know when they got sure? Immediately when Jesus got on that boat, they spent 9 hours out there fighting that storm. And as soon as Jesus got on the boat, the Bible teaches us that immediately they reached the other side. And when they got out of that boat and hit that shore, the Bible says that they knew who he was. I'm just telling you, sometimes we get so out of whack with God, we don't even recognize him. Sometimes we get so out of sorts with God Almighty, God can send a word our way and we don't even recognize it. God can send something, a messenger our way and we don't even recognize it. God can manifest himself in our home. He can manifest himself in our life and we don't even know it's God, man. You say, well, I'm talking about a wrong heart, friend. And God says, I want your heart right. Because when I manifest myself, I want you to praise me for it. I want you to worship me. I guess I'll better cut it off. But, church, I maybe can finish this later, but I guess what I'm trying to say is most of the time our storms, when God sends them our way, is because there's something between me and him. And he wants to get it out of my life. I think he got these old boys to the place. Some of them were so shook up that when Jesus showed up and they recognized who he was, son, all they want, if you'll read it, all they want to do is sit at his feet. They want to get right, boy. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the liberty. I pray, God, that you'd bless the food. And God, if it be your will, let us finish this thought after we eat. God, I pray that you'd do so. Help us, oh Lord, this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.